What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ our King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You didn't want it.
You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now?
What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ our King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this kingdom of the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its thoughts and desires. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Death could not hold you, the veil torn before you, silence the boast of sin and the heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, and you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Death could not hold it.
Death could not hold it.
The veil tore before you.
Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. And for you are raised to life again.
You have no rival,
and you have no rival, and you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of, what a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of my Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Most wonderful, most powerful, most beautiful. Thank you. To you be the glory. Today and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, Amen.
I am a girl who can slip and fall on anything, and cords would be bad.
Am I on yet? Oh, I'm on. Okay, Adam, I thought it was very fitting to show, as we were going from Mount Carmel with Elijah to Galilee, in Galilee we happened to come across some ancient tombs. And with the stone rolled away, which was just so cool. So our driver, because we were on the road, slowed down to very slow.
Can I interrupt you for a second? Some people are here that might not know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, okay. I was extremely privileged the beginning of this month, actually last month, it's now a whole month ago, in March, to go to Israel for 2 weeks. And it was just an amazing trip. I really grew to love Jesus in a different way than I ever had before. One of the ways was, I've always loved Jesus. I was born in the church, always have. And I always knew Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. And yet, I really fell in love with I felt like he became my really good friend. So we are going to talk a little bit about Capernaum today, because that's where I loved Jesus. But first, so we went from Mount Carmel on our first day through Galilee over to the Sea of Galilee, Tiberias, and that's where we stayed in a little kibbutz. But along the way, we saw tombs, ancient tombs, and these are ancient tombs, what they look like. There's three different tombs there, and Adam, I'll let you do the next one because they're slightly different angles as I took as I went, and then the next one. Okay, so later I will show you inside a tomb, but that's not today. But it just is such, like now when I think of the empty tomb, I see that. So cool. But what I really wanted to share today, the first thing that really, really spoke to me, was in Capernaum, we went and saw an oil press. And the name of the oil press is Gethsemane. Gethsemane is not a place. Gethsemane is a thing, and it is an olive oil press. So when Jesus is at Gethsemane, he is at the olive press. And it just really struck me how he was pressed. I mean, like, the olive gets, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, Adam, can you go to screen 86? I think it is. Actually, I might need to go back up there for a few minutes so I can point out some stuff. Oh, it's going to be quite a ways if you go that way. Okay. You can keep going. I think you could just scroll down, but that's okay. I'm not going to tell you about these things because these are for later. That's Nazareth, Mount Precipice. Capernaum. Okay, we're getting close. Keep going. Next one. This is it. So this is, and it's kind of hard to see, this is an olive press right here. And that's the first place. You put the olives in, and women, because, you know, we are the weaker sex, we attach that, and that was what he said laughingly, is women or donkeys are attached. There's a little hole there. That's what he said. And they push this heavy stone around the mill hole. And it presses out olives. It presses out oil. And the very first pressing, and he said that laughing because this is incredibly hard work. Like, wow. And it presses out the purest olive oil. And first fruits always go to the synagogue, to God. You give your first fruits to God. So the best goes to God. The next round of it is the second, and is not quite as good, but it's still pretty good. And that's what you'd use for your baking and your cooking and stuff. The third one, though, I'm not sure if this is a better picture, but now it goes under here. So, Adam, can you go to the next picture and see? Okay. I'm wrong. It goes on top of this one here, and you then put a heavy stone on it. And there's a heavy stone over here, and you push down. And the olive oil comes through the little square thing there, out the hole. And this is your third pressing. So third pressing is what you use for your lamps, your oil for your lamps. And it's got a little bit of gook in it, you know, like some pits and stuff, because now it's pretty bad. And then they would do a fourth pressing. This here is also an olive pit, and the oil runs down into there. From that one, the oil falls into there. So that really spoke to me about how much pressing the oil goes through. But the other thing is talking about light and how Jesus came to be the light for us. And it requires a lot of pressing to get to the olive oil that is used for light. Those are pushed and pushed to the very end. And as we know at Easter, Jesus was pushed until it was all finished, until it was all done. There was nothing left that needed to be done. There was nothing left to get out of that. But that was the end. Adam, I think you can fly. I think there's two or three more of those, just closer up. Okay, go to the next one. Okay. So so then we were looking at this is what a lamp was look like at the time. These are called Herodian lamps because Herod was brilliant, horrible, horrible man, but he was brilliant, and he figured out a better way to do the tops. And so a Herodian lamp has this, but the wick goes down into this little hole here, and you light the wick. And I brought one back. This one is full of olive oil, so I won't be picking it up. And it is my gift to the church. So I'm going to set this down and light this lamp. Well, I do have something underneath it, so it's not going to... maybe I think I just need to do this, and then it will be okay. Okay. I'm actually good. Thank you. So, and this was your lamp that you would carry around. And you carried this with you because there are no street lights. The story of the 10 virgins, and there's not a lot of oil in there, how their light ran out. Then he mentioned, now I had been going to get myself, I was like, what splurge am I getting? And my splurge had been going to get a olive tree nativity set. And so I had decided I was going to, you know, like I had in my mind what I wanted and I was going to spend. I had like 500 was my limit. And then I saw what I wanted and it was only 5,000. the one I got for $500, or the one I got for $75 is about this big. So they are really, really expensive. And so, but the lamp, the press, spoke to me so much that he then mentioned, our guide mentioned, that they have lots of original artifacts that they found from all the excavations, and you could buy an oil lamp. Some, this is a 2,000-year-old Herodian lamp. And it's been used, and nobody can touch it. You can certainly come up and look at it. Please don't touch it, because I can break anything. This one here was not hundreds of dollars, I promise. And then this one here, this, my guide, because he said he bought it and he wanted to give it to me, is actually an oil container. This is the oil holder. The other thing that these were sometimes used for was women's tears were considered extremely valuable, and God collects our tears, and so women would also use them to collect their tears. And please don't touch that one either, because that's original. But I gifted the church one that is not original. And there it is. And Dave, would you like me to leave it burning or blow it out? I've got stuff underneath it. So okay. All right, thank you. I don't know. We had put oil in it, and when I was playing with it and putting the wick in, and the next day, we only burned it for about a half an hour. The next day, all of the oil was sucked out into the wick, which I found was interesting. So,
that weird sound you're hearing is me trying to bring up a video clip that I forgot to bring up. I wanted to start out with something, and Adam, you probably would want to full screen that if you would. But I wanted to share a clip with you. I hope you can see it. It's such a beautiful, bright day out. I don't know if that will help, maybe. This is just a quick little video regarding Jesus' resurrection, and I'll let it speak for itself. Go ahead, Adam.
I need 100% participation, so it's working.
Yeah, everyone's here. All 11 of us. What's the plan?
As you know, Jesus is dead. But stick with me. I have a plan. We are going to steal his body.
Okay, I'm tracking with you. What's next?
And then, we're going to tell the whole world that you rose from the dead.
Oh, you know I'm in.
I was already.
All right, classic, then what?
And then?
We're all going to get brother and brother!
Oh! Wait, come again.
Could you go over that last part real quick?
So what? We get murdered. What's the problem?
I like it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me a good host as much as the next guy, right? And, what's in it for us? Do we all get riches, fame, and fortune first? Right?
No, get this. You're going to be hated, persecuted, and reviled for the rest of your life! Oh!
Look, I gotta be missing something here, right? Okay? I mean, why on earth would we do this? Can we start over?
Okay, we'll start from the beginning. Everybody, for John, the leather disciple.
So, okay. We go down to Jesus' tomb.
Sounds good. Yeah, really.
Then, we pay off the Roman soldiers that are guarding the tomb with their lives.
Life check. Why would they do that?
And we
somehow roll away the big stone that's in front of the tomb. Obviously, you have to move the rock first.
Yeah. And then you steal his body.
Yeah, I guess.
Then we tell the whole world that he rose from the dead, and we get through the universe from all troubles!
Great, bro.
Then we all get killed.
Come on. When do we see ourselves become exalted and great?
That's just it.
You don't! What is happening? Anyone hear what I'm saying? This is the most idiotic plan of all time!
Chill out, Rowan. Do I really have to explain the joke to you? Look, it's that we lie about Jesus' resurrection, and then we all die.
How am I supposed to chill out when our heads are getting cut off? Or worse, what is wrong with you guys? Okay, look, back me up here. I know you can't be cool with all this. I know you're gonna have to stop. Come on, Sal.
I got some good news for you.
Okay, Adam.
We want to thank our friend
Adam. You can stop it.
Video. If you want to
Adam, you can. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. We can skip the credits. All right. The point being there, I guess. I imagine it was not lost on you that. Everything that we believe hinges on the resurrection.
Right.
Everything. The video is a humorous way to show the foolishness of denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Foolishness. No one would sacrifice themselves wholeheartedly for something that they knew was untrue. And we have the historical accounts of these men who gave their lives in awful ways. And if you read church history, you find how some of them died. It was not a fun way to die. But they did that because they knew it was the truth, and they knew it was had happened. And it's undeniable. It's undeniable. So the resurrection means everything to our faith. I have to have my little clicker. Everything that we believe hinges on it, and with the resurrection, without the resurrection, our faith crumbles. There's nothing. Without resurrection, then all we end up having is just a kind of a kind fraternity with a good teacher who gives us good morals, and there's just nothing life. Life-changing at the center of that. Did I push the right button? I did. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If our hope in Christ is for this life alone, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all may be made alive. Glory, glory, glory to his name. Remember, a good teacher cannot transform somebody's life. Only the resurrection power The resurrection of Jesus Christ can change a life. And the greatest testimony to the power of God is a changed life. I had two fellows from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you don't know what that is, it's the Mormon Church. And they appeared at my door yesterday. And they wanted to talk to me, and they wanted to give me a Book of Mormon, and they wanted to tell me that their canon of Scripture, there was further revelation, and there was more to be revealed. And I said, let me tell you about Jesus. And they said, let's look at the Book of Mormon. I said, no, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you the life that I had. And the poor guys, they hardly got a word in edgewise, because I launched into my testimony and I told them what my life was before Christ. And I said, when I got saved, suddenly, for the first time other than my family, I felt loved. I had a filthy mouth, and God delivered me from cursing. God delivered me from demonic addiction. I took them through my whole deliverance with my pastor, and how the Lord released me from demonic spirits and the manifestation, the power of God, how he delivered me from this and that. And they're standing there looking at me, and they start looking at their watch. And they say, well, we've only got a few minutes. Can we give you this? I said, no, I don't need your book. I know Jesus, and I do know that the Jesus you believe is not the Jesus that I believe. Oh, but it's not. Who Jesus is matters everything. And my Jesus transforms lives. And it's because of his resurrection. Glory to God. But there is no changed life without the resurrection. Those controlled by the flesh cannot please God, Romans 8. You, however, are not controlled by the flesh, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Because of the resurrection, we have indwelling in us the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, let that truth, I know we've read it, and I know we've heard it before, but let that truth sink into you. The same Spirit that went into that tomb to a dead body and resurrected it is what lives in you. There's a power there to bring life from death. Boy, I heard that over and over as we were worshiping this morning. Life from death. Bring life to the things that are dead. And I still hear it. Anything that has been stolen from you by the enemy that he has said is dead and gone in your life, you kick that thing out and speak to it and tell it to come out of the tomb in the name of Jesus. God wants to bring life to hope inside of some people here today. If you felt discouraged about something, I hear it in my spirit. God wants to restore hope because there is resurrection life in the Christian believer. I want to look back not at Jesus' resurrection for a moment, but another resurrection. And I'm sorry, this is really small. I tried to make it as big as I could, but I didn't want to have 15 screens either. John 11. This is the death of Lazarus. And when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick and they called for him to come, what does he do? He hangs out and waits until Lazarus is not just dead, he's really dead. Really, really dead. And then Jesus shows up. 4 days later, I don't know how long it took Jesus to get there, because when he heard of it, Lazarus was sick. Then when Jesus gets there, he's been dead for 4 days, so Jesus hung out for a while. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already spent 4 days in the tomb. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, a little less than 2 hours away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them in the loss of their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." "Your brother will rise again," Jesus told her. Martha replied, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" This is Jesus' fifth I am statement in the Gospels. Seven times, Jesus has seven I am statements. This is the fifth one. That would be a great study to do, not today. But Jesus' statement that he is the resurrection and the life is going to give us, I think I've got another, we didn't have Lazarus come out of the tomb yet, I'm sorry. Jesus, once again, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," Jesus said. And the classic line, "Lord, by now he stinks," said Martha, the sister of the dead man. "It has already been 4 days." Jesus replied, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And then he calls Lazarus out. And out he walks, still wrapped up. Just amazing. Jesus' statement that he is the resurrection and the life is going to provide us with insight in three ways. Number one, Martha believed the resurrection was an event. Jesus showed her that the resurrection is a person. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not an event, it is a person. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Now that doesn't mean that suddenly you're just never going to die. Because I've never met, if that's true, then I've never met a real Christian. Because everybody dies eventually. It's talking about spiritual death. When you meet Jesus, when you have a relationship with him and that resurrection life comes into you, that's your resurrection. Life from the dead. How many of you remember when you got saved? And it was like life from the dead. Oh, I remember when I got saved. I was a student at Fredonia State University and my life was heading in the wrong way. I won't go into all of that. But when I got saved, it was life from the dead, and it was in the person of Jesus Christ. Martha's knowledge of eternal life was conceptual. She had an idea that there is an eternal life, but Jesus showed her that eternal life is a personal relationship. Resurrection is a person, and eternal life is a personal relationship. John 17:3, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The resurrection is a person. Eternal life is a personal relationship. And number three, Martha thought victory over death was a future expectation. Jesus showed her that victory is a present reality. 1 Corinthians 15:54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying is written that is written will come to pass. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death does not have victory anymore, and the Christian does not have to fear death. The Christian does not have to fear death, because the victory has been won. If there's anybody here today and you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, today you need to know that if you were to die right now, that you would be either going to heaven or to hell based on the person, the personal relationship, and the victory. And nobody is guaranteed another day. I'm not going to be long today. We're gonna keep it fairly short. Because we get to partake of resurrection life right now, what it does is it gives our life meaning and purpose. We have purpose and meaning because Jesus rose from the dead. I already clicked on that. John 20, 19 through 22. It was the first day of the week, and that very evening when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said to them. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so also I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus said, "As the Father sent me," what did God send Jesus to do? Give his life for the world. "So I am sending you to give your life for the world." But he doesn't send us without any help. He breathed on them. They received the Holy Spirit. You're going to need some help here. You're going to need the empowering. You're going to need some strengthening. That in itself is the purpose of God. We have a purpose to be able to reach a lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to encourage you in that today, in that you have the power within you to bring resurrection life to other people around you. You have that ability to share the word of life. Now, that does not mean that people are going to fall at your feet and get saved all over the place. I wish it did. Oh, I wish it did. But the truth is, before I got saved, I probably had no less throughout my life, I don't know how many people witnessed to me. Oh my gosh, and growing up, everywhere I went, I'd meet Christians. I'd get sick in the hospital, and a Christian would come and pray for me. I'd go shopping at Grandway. Oh, that really dates me, if you ever heard of Grandway. Or maybe it was Kmart, I can't remember, it might have been later. I was in high school, and a couple of Christians cornered me in an aisle and started preaching the gospel to me, and they wanted to pray for me to get saved. I was so scared of them that I said the prayer. I just wanted to get away from them. I figured if I prayed it, they'd leave me alone. And then I gave them sort of a fake phone number, and I went home, and the next day I still got a phone call. You know, I think I only changed one digit. They probably figured it out, and they still called me. They still call me, "Hey, Dave, I heard you got saved." And I'm like, "Ah!" And I hung up. And I went to college, and people found me everywhere I went when I got to college. They came crawling out of the woodwork. Barth Chapman would preach to me in the dining hall, and people would hand me a Bible here. And all of these people along the way that witnessed to me, and I just run away, and they probably thought, well, that was kind of... But then I got saved. The resurrection life you have within you always has an effect on people. Don't doubt that it does. My wife goes every, pardon me, I don't mean, I'm not exalting my wife, but she runs around like a little energizer, but she passes out tracts to everybody. She came home yesterday and she told me, "I gave out Easter tracts to this person, that person," these little things. One of the cashiers went, "Woo!" And other people said, "Oh, thank you." You know, she just runs around and gives them out. But sometimes you get discouraged. She's like, "Well, yeah, but nobody comes to church. Nobody gets saved." Every one of those things has an effect. Do not doubt that the sowing of the Word of God has an effect. You don't know. You can be a link in the chain that maybe five more people down the line, they're going to get saved. Well, I want it to be me. Yeah, I want it to be me too that leads somebody to Jesus. But you know, we don't get to pick that. One plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. But the Spirit of God in you, when you go and you speak the word of life to people, it has an effect. Don't doubt it. Believe that that's there. That is resurrection power, and it's the truth. Whether you feel anything, whether you see anything, whether they run away. I've told this story. I used to, when I got saved, I kind of went crazy. I had a whole rack of tracts on my dorm door, and I used to stick them up there. And some of the guys used to take them, and you know, they flow. But lo and behold, toss them. But lo and behold, we got a note about a year or two ago. Somebody that Randy knew that said, he said, yeah, I lived in that dorm with Dave Williams, and I used to take those tracts out of his door and read them, and I was always disappointed when there wasn't new ones there. Well, the guy got saved. He went off. He's been an evangelist, and he's led thousands of people to Christ in some other country. I don't remember what country it was. It was amazing. It was amazing, and I didn't know anybody was reading the tracts off my door. But what was it? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't doubt that God can use you. Your life has purpose. Amen. And don't be afraid to go out. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometimes I go out and the spirit of fear hits me when I feel like I want to witness to somebody. I get scared. Do you get scared when is it fear kind of intimidating to talk to some, walk up to somebody, especially if you just feel led to talk to somebody you don't know? I mean, it's nice at least when God opens the door, but sometimes it's like, I've had the Lord tell me to go talk to people, and I'm like, oh God, no. And most of the time I'm obedient. I'd like to say all the time, but I'm not always. But that fear hits you. Trust in the resurrection power of Christ. Know that it always has an effect. Every time you share the word of God, every single time, there's power behind it to minister to somebody's soul and somebody's spirit. And you know what? Either it'll go in and it'll be another watering of a seed that's there, or it'll come to them and they'll turn away from it. But God gives them the chance. God gives them a chance to reach out to Him. In my first book, O Theophilus, this is the beginning of Acts, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day He was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen. After His suffering, He presented Himself to them with many convincing proofs that He was alive. I wish I knew what all of them were. Oh, God, why couldn't we have had them written down? We'll find out someday. It must have been pretty amazing. He appeared to them over a span of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And when they were gathered together, He commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father promised, which you have heard me discuss. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. God wants to use you in the power of the Spirit. Remember He said He breathed on them? We believe as a full gospel church in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's separate from salvation. This is a time where the Spirit of God came on them later. We see it happening over and over in the book of Acts. If you haven't experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit, at the end of service, I invite you to come up. We will lay hands on you and believe God to fill you with power. But I want to encourage you as Christians, if you are a Spirit-baptized believer, you can believe God to use you in the power of the Spirit. I want to encourage you that God can use you in those gifts of the Spirit. God could use you to prophesy. God could use you to speak in tongues or to interpret. He could give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, a discerning of spirits, a gift. He can manifest a gift of healing through you. We've seen people over and over here healed of diseases and sicknesses. He could give you a gift of faith. He could give you, what one did I forget? Help me out. Working of miracles. Ooh, how could I forget that one? But it says that the Spirit gives those gifts to each one as He desires. Do you know what that means? It means you got one, at least one. God wants to use you. He might use you in more than one. I don't know what they are, but can you believe God to use you? It's not the pastor. I mean, at the end, I stand up here sometimes and we pray for people, but God could use you. God could use you in a gift of the Spirit. He could manifest His Spirit because of the power of the resurrection. And when Jesus ascended, He said, I'm going up and the Spirit's coming down. I'm going up and the Spirit's coming down. And He went up. Away He went. And the Spirit of the God, the Lord, came down and they began to speak in tongues and they began to do miracles. I want to encourage you today. This is a day to believe God for miracles, to believe God for the power of His Spirit. It is His promise. We can't force it. We can't make it happen. But we can pray, we can ask, and we can seek Him and then step out in faith. God can do it. And if you're here today and you say, yes, I want to be used in the power of the Spirit more. God is my heart's desire. I want you to come up for prayer today. We're going to lay hands on you and believe God to zap you and send you out with the word of life. Oh, our community needs it. And our town needs it. Our village needs it. But it has to be God. I can't make it happen. You can't make it happen. You can't chase people down and force them to accept Christ. It's got to be the work of the power of the Holy Spirit. I used to chase people up and down the street in Fredonia when I was a student. I told you, people used to run away from me. I'd be like, wait, I want to tell you about Jesus. And they're like, "Woo, get away from me." Yeah, I did a lot of striving. One of my roommates said, yeah, I watched you chasing somebody down the street the other day. What were you doing? Oh, God. Lene talked about the pressing. The other thing, are you willing, because that, it says, you are the light of the world. And it's talking about a lamp, but the lamp needs oil, and that oil goes through pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing. Are you willing to go through the pressing? Are you willing to get squished? You know, when you get squished, the yucky stuff comes out. I hate to say it, but you know, sometimes I get squished and I'm embarrassed about what comes out of me. I don't like it. But God lets that happen to let that yucky stuff come to the top. Are you willing? Are you willing to get crushed? Jesus was crushed. He was crushed. And he prayed in agony three times. You know, I was impressed at the Good Friday service. You know, some people tell me, well, you know, I prayed in faith and I'm believing God. Jesus prayed three times in the garden. That was Jesus. And he went and prayed once. And then he went back and prayed again. And he went back and prayed again. Three times. Don't tell me I don't have enough faith. Don't tell me you don't have enough faith if you pray for something more than once or twice or three or four or five times. Believe God for it. Believe God. It's not a lack of faith. It's knocking on the door. And God can do it. Oh, and it doesn't mean that your life, you know, is going to be perfect. Paul said, I think I put it up here, 2 Corinthians 4:16, wherever it is. Yeah, that was the rest of that scripture. The power, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is renewed day by day. Some of you are like, yeah, Pastor Dave, I feel like my outer self is kind of wasting away. You know, we get old. We get older. Our bodies don't do all of the things that we wish that they would do. But it says our inner self is being renewed day by day. And that is really exciting. That renewed means made new, or by moving from one stage to a higher stage. God always wants to take us on. A saint's purpose never ends until the minute you leave this life. You breathe your last breath and you're in glory. Till that point, God has a purpose for your life, and He wants to use that purpose in your life to reach people for Christ, and He wants to give you the power of His Spirit. And you can believe Him for it. He will be faithful. Oh, I know that God is going to call me into account for this. This week I'm going to have to walk this out. Oh, God, help me. It's usually the week before or the week after, and I preach this, and then God puts me through it. Oh, God, it's good, though. It's good, it's good, it's good. God wants to purify us, impress us, and then He wants that pure Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can go out and speak that word and believe God, the power of the Spirit to be behind it. Maybe God's going to put you in somebody's path this week, and they're going to have some needs. You don't have to preach the whole gospel to them, but if they've got a need, you could offer to pray for them. Can I pray for you? I believe God can touch your life. I think He could help you with this. Can I pray? Can I share with you? I went through something like that too, and you know what? Jesus touched me. You can do it. Saints, you can do it. God can use you. He can open doors. Look for those doors. Ask Him. And believe Him to follow up with resurrection life. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name that there is power in the name of Jesus. God, forgive us when we lose sight of it, when we doubt it, when it looks like nothing is happening, because we know that when Your word is sown, there is always an effect. You are always faithful. And where we go, if we have the Spirit of God within us, there is life to bring change to every situation. Whether we see it or not, Lord, we know that You're moving and that you're at work. And we know that that light brings a division between light and darkness. Some people will run from it. Some people will run to it. But Lord, we just trust You to do Your work. Help us to walk faithfully. Oh God, help us to walk faithfully and believe You for resurrection life. Oh, glory to Your name. Father, we thank You for it. Lord, let our inner man be renewed day by day. Take us to the next level, Father. Help us to walk a little more faithfully. Help us to seek You a little more. Help us to believe You a little more for the power of Your Spirit to be manifest in our lives, and for us to have opportunities to reach people with the gospel that can bring resurrection life to their lives. Oh God, do it, Lord. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Glory to Your name. Happy Resurrection Sunday, saints. Jesus is alive, and because of it, we're alive. If you want prayer today, we're here to pray for you, to believe for any need you may have. And if you have never experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we would love to pray for you today to be filled to overflowing and experience the move of the Spirit like never before. If not, God bless you. Happy Resurrection Day. Happy Easter, whichever you like to say. Jesus is risen. Take the good news with you. God bless you.